The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
So where does Anthony Joshua against Vladimir Klitschko rate in the all-time heavyweight bouts? It's surely up there in the top five. Let's have a chat with Tom Gray from ringtv.com and get more on it. Morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Just whereabouts do you put that fight?
I need to confess, I've not sat down and made up a top five, but I said afterwards it was the best heavyweight fight I'd seen since Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield 2. Now, that might be down to taste because I put that on Twitter and a lot of people kind of poo-pooed it, but I thought that was a terrific fight between Lewis and Holyfield. But that on Saturday was different, wasn't it? It was the drama that was in it. I mean, I've been watching boxing for over half my life, and when Joshua went down in the sixth, I thought it was over. Mm. And the fact that he's come back and that the kind of drama that surrounded it and the way he finished it. I mean, you can get a stoppage and you can get a stoppage. That was a stoppage. And a lot of people have said that the decision to stop the fight was premature. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think that he closed brilliantly.
There's so many great points to the fight. I mean, if we go to round five, yeah. Joshua came out like a man possessed, like he wanted to finish it there and then.
Yeah. He's known to be a fast starter, and I think you can now take that from being fast starter as in from the opening bell and a fast starter at the beginning of the round. See, Klitschko likes to come out and think, right, here's my 3 minutes. You know, he probably breaks the 3 minutes down into chunks, and Joshua just jumped on him. And I don't think Vladimir's not really had opponents that will take that risk and attack him because he's a good counterpuncher. That omnipresent right hand is always there. You know, Joshua surprised him. That's good tactically as well as anything, and knocked him off his feet. It hurt him and then knocked him off his feet early doors. So it was, great stuff.
I mean, it was a roller coaster, wasn't it? If you talk about great fights, I mean, the thing that defines them is that it isn't just one-sided.
That's right. It's the ebb and flow, isn't it? And the fact that Joshua got him down in the fifth and then he basically, you know, he opened up on him, and that seemed to drain his reserves at that point. I think Eddie Hearn said he thought that he got overexcited. He was in the corner screaming, shouting, and I think all of that just got to him, and I think he thought Vladimir was done. And then when he didn't get him out, he was really, really tired. See, a big fella that size, 6'6", 250 pounds, I don't know if a lot of people appreciate just how his body has to recover, you know, and his conditioning is superb, but I thought because he got tired and then immediately hurt in the next round, I thought he was done and absolutely through. A fella that size to be able to recover like that, I can't even recall a time when I've really seen it, a man of that stature. And he took his time over the next few rounds and was able to recoup, which was I think the most the most impressive thing about it.
Did that surprise you that he was able to weather that short storm? And you know, once he'd got through a few rounds after Klitschko had put him down, did you think to yourself, right, there's something else going to happen within this story now?
I thought that when I was watching it live, I thought Vladimir had a slight, was on the ascendancy in terms of pulling the scorecards back in his favour, because I thought Anthony was ahead. And again, sort of like what you'd referred to in the fifth round when Anthony, you know, jumped on him and got him quick. It was that, again, it was that shock, that surprise. He jumped right on Klitschko, and Klitschko's not used to someone doing that. And this time, he got off the kind of shots that I think it was impossible. But also by that stage of the fight, Vladimir's not as fresh as he was in round five when he got tagged. When he got tagged with massive shots in the 11th, there was much less left in him. And I think then Joshua knew to attack and be a bit more judicious with his punches, but still to put full meat into them. And this time he closed much better.
Now, I've never met Anthony Joshua, but he seems like a humble, down-to-earth sort of guy. And there was this defining moment when the fight had been stopped that he just smiled. It was almost in the direction of Vladimir Klitschko, but I don't think it was an arrogant smile, almost of a, you know, I've beaten you. It was almost like a realisation of a point within his life where he crossed the line.
I don't agree with that.
No,
I've sat ringside and watched Anthony fight, and he is a humble fella pre-fight, but he's got a real mean streak and real fight. Yeah, he's a real competitor. I've seen him do that from ringside with other fighters. So it's just in the heat of the moment, you know, the I think the sort of spiteful kind of Roberto Duran killer instinct that is still in him there, and then he'll chill out, you know, and be really, really respectful. And he was. I mean, it was a battle between two gentlemen and ambassadors of the sport. And I need to confess, I mean, during the build up to it, how do I put this without sound? I don't know how to sound here, but some of the gentlemanly conduct was starting to grate on me a bit. I like a bit of needle. But then, you know, I totally apologise for feeling that way, because if every fight going forward, both guys need to be that nice to each other and they can produce those kind of fireworks, you know, I don't care if I never see an explosive press conference again in my life. As long as they do it in the ring, that's what counts.
I'm sure we won't see many more fights like that where there's no sort of cross-talking between the two. Already Tyson Fury has stuck his head into the conversation and said he could beat AJ with one hand behind his back.
Good hyperbole from Tyson. That's just the way he is. I mean, there's no way there's going to be gentlemanly conduct if those two ever get it together, let's face it. You know, that's just the way Tyson is. I don't know if we see that necessarily next, but it's an intriguing fight because, you know, at the end of the day, because of the way Anthony Joshua won that fight, he's getting so much credit and acclaim, and he deserves it, because he's essentially set the division in fire there. When Tyson defused Klitschko, it was kind of a damp squib, but I give him full credit for the achievement. It was a magnificent tactical performance, and I think Tyson gives Anthony Joshua fits. Now, on the heels of such an impressive performance, a lot of people will think that Anthony Joshua is now unbeatable, but, you know, Tyson Fury brings things to the table that I think Anthony Joshua would struggle with, providing he can get back to where he was. And that's not going to be easy after putting on all that weight. You know, he's not been well over the last 17 months or so. He's still a young man, so we'll see what he does. But I think tactically, it would give Anthony Joshua a lot of trouble.
So you think that one could be a close one to call?
Absolutely. You know, he's got good experience, Tyson. And the other thing that he's got, see, both guys on Saturday, there was 10 pounds separating them in weight, but dimensions wise, they were very, very similar. Where Tyson Fury has got strong height and reach advantages over Anthony Joshua, and that's how he would fight. I mean, no matter what he says in the build-up, we're just talking there about, you know, how things will probably go unsavoury. It'll be, you know, hands behind my back and, you know, I'll do what I want. He'll come out and box Anthony Joshua. He'll stay away and be clever. That's the way he fights. And, you know, he's got really, really good athleticism. He might look slightly clumsy and awkward at points, but Tyson, for a man of his size, is a really, really, really fine athlete. And, yep, I think it would be a very close fight to call. And I don't think it would be anything resembling what you've seen on Saturday night either in terms of a spectacle.
So British audiences would love to see that, but I wonder what a global audience would want to watch. And a lot of the papers that you've been talking with Eddie Hearn, been talking with AJ as well, and very much intimating the Joshua camp that they'd like to go global in terms of their horizons. And that means box in other countries. So whether it be the MGM in Las Vegas, whether it be box in Beijing or China or Dubai, is this going to be the next step?
Yeah, I mean, I read Stephen Espinoza from Showtime. After that, considering Showtime was over, HBO was over, I mean, the bout has resonated globally, but, you know, the United States is probably where it's going to be at next. When he comes out of the UK, I think it'll be the United States first, because they obviously love him. You've got a big fella like that who's a good looking kid and a knockout artist, who's been in a fight for the ages. You know, he's hot property. He's one of the hottest properties in world sport, never mind boxing. So I think it'll go to the United States next, and I think that they're going to probably put up a plan in place to get Deontay Wilder.
And is that the correct opponent for him? Is that a fight?
Yeah.
That would make would the styles make a good fight?
Well, in my view, you've got two guys there who combine for, I think, off the top of my head, it's 57 wins and 56 knockouts. And that's astonishing.
Right.
So, I mean, it's sold there as, you know, the judges can take the night off. You know, it's going to be, you're not going to need any scorecards for that. Yeah. I mean, schedule it for six, it's probably over. Schedule it for six rounds, it's probably over before the distance anyway. So, I would love to see that fight. Again, comes down to styles, and I would favour Anthony Joshua strongly in that fight. If I was, you know, I've got things wrong when it comes to predicting fights and stuff. But if I was guiding Anthony Joshua, that would be the fight that I would be looking for, because I think, and this is only my personal viewpoint, I'm not speaking on behalf of Ring Magazine or RingTV.com, but I think Anthony Joshua would make mincemeat of Deontay Wilder.
And does he dominate the division for the next decade, next 5 years, whatever?
It's difficult to say, because despite the fact that he came to the ring untested, unproven, and had never faced real adversity as a pro, and he left the ring tested, proven, and had overcome adversity. But there's a vulnerability there, isn't there? I mean, he got clipped by Deontay Wilder. He got clipped by Dillian White and bobbled a bit and come back to win by knockout. And he got dropped by Klitschko and come back to win by knockout. So the one thing I'll say is if he gets caught one time and he can't recover, then he could conceivably lose a fight. I don't know if he said that he'll be able to maybe emulate Klitschko and Reign for 10 years. I wouldn't put it beyond him, but you need to do that. And that takes a lot of... that'll take a lot. I mean, I would like to think so, because he's put such an injection of positive vibes back into the game. It would be great if he could dominate the division in years to come, and maybe get trilogy fights going with Klitschko. I mean, there's no guarantee that Vladimir won't come back with Wilder or with Tyson Fury. There's some big stakes potentially ahead there.
Radio City Talk Breakfast, the kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.